Welcome to episode 1.5 of Classy Coders, a podcast that brings computer science professionals and educators together to highlight the current state of computer science education and career paths. Today, we finish our discussion with Tyler Weaver, hearing about his advice for people getting into IT careers, his day-to-day responsibilities in his role, and a little bit about the emotional component of being an IT professional. This is Classy Coders. Tyler, we ended the last episode with you telling us that you'd do everything the same, just do it sooner. So with that in mind, where would you recommend somebody start if they're interested in a career in IT?
I think A+ is definitely the place to start, especially if you don't have a degree. There is another version of the A+ that is truly an introductory, purely the basics. Sort of certification.
Yeah.
It's for exactly what you're describing. The people who are like, hey, I'm not a tech person. And when I've seen it discussed, it doesn't carry as much, I've been led to believe it doesn't carry as much weight when applying for jobs. However, it does show that you were able to study some concepts that you may not have been familiar with before, and that you were able to do the work and actually get a certification. So there is value in that. And also, if you're doing that version of a certification based for the sake of conversation, we'll call it A+ light, diet A+, sure, whatever. And you do that, you may decide that you find something you like, or maybe you decide you don't like it at all. But at least at that point, you haven't committed you haven't overcommitted. But if It's also about getting in there and seeing what you like about technology. There's so many different directions to go, and I would like to ascend to actual systems administrator at some point in my career, but it can also go in a lot of different lateral directions. When you're a junior systems admin or a systems admin, you're doing a lot of different stuff. If you could also join a networking team, and it's just focused. You're doing networking things, and the breadth of networking is huge. Don't get me wrong. God, studying for this test. But that networking test.
Yep.
But if you're in a shop that has different teams like that, you may decide that you want something that's more focused, and it's like, cool, I know this exact thing. I've read discussions of people who are like, you know, I got out of junior sysadmin, I got out of sysadmin because it was just basically so many different things, fingers in so many different pies. I want to specialize in something. And cloud architecture is a huge one now.
Oh, absolutely.
I keep seeing it come up. I have not moved in that direction yet, but I would like to. I'm curious about it. I know that I was actually studying for the NetPlus far too long, and the version I was studying for was retired, and there's a newer version of the Networking Plus exam, and that one has added, there's a huge amount of overlap, but I know that they added some more cloud-related topics in that this time around from what I've read, and that'll happen with all of these certifications. It's like every 4 or 5 years, I think.
Sure.
One is retired and a new, you know, this technology is constantly changing. And the one thing I've come away with in my time here, or one of the main things I've come away with in my time doing this, is that this career, I'm going to always be studying, not necessarily every day, but I'm always going to have to learn something else. There is the concern that AI will take away a lot of these jobs, and it may, but I think it also depends on which direction you choose to go in. There may be certain levels, like introductory cursory things there, like help desk level 1 may be replaced by AI,
right?
Because it is getting more and more amazing, and hell, like you said, we use it to troubleshoot,
right?
We use it, and you don't necessarily have to construct, you don't have to build the script. You can put in what you want it to do sometimes, and it will give you a script and you can check it. And again, as long as it's logical, give it a try, see if it works. It's an amazing tool. Yeah, I really do have to stand by starting at least for now with CompTIA. Or Or there's another argument to be made that just get in there, just get in help desk and do your time and don't get comfortable. Don't stay at help desk for 5 years. After 2 to 3 years, try to get out because you're getting some really good experience because you're doing so much stuff. But as you well know, it's getting yelled at a lot on the phone. It's just not, it's not good for you. Not good
There's
for
an
you.
emotional component that can't be ignored. Yeah.
There is, and you got to take care of yourself. And you have some people who are like, oh, that sort of thing doesn't bother me. It's like, different, different strokes for different folks. But on the whole, I'm of the opinion it's like, don't stay too long in one place. Don't get comfortable. You want to keep moving.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's very relevant in terms of, IT roles, computer science roles in general. It's hard to stay complacent. And I mean, there is a certain hunger that you have to have, knowing that, going into it and feeling that. But I think, from the ways that we've both talked about how we figured out how to study, how we figured out how we like to learn, I think there is that capacity to be like, 15 minutes a night, or 30 minutes a night, or 30 minutes in the morning. I'm trying to exchange my Facebook or my Reddit time for those sorts of experiences, just because it feels better, after the fact, to feel like I,
That's a good way to frame it.
yeah,
That's a very good way to
right,
frame
of like I feel better having, put something into my brain as opposed to, social media, which sort of feels like it's taking from me in this day and age.
Well,
Yeah, it's tough.
yeah. I couldn't agree with you more on that. And also, you're like you said before, in so many words, once you do that 30 minutes, your brain gives you the good chemicals.
The good
It's just
chemicals.
like, hey, yeah, that's how I like to put
Yeah.
it. It's like, ooh. Or hell, when I solve a problem at work that was a real problem, you get that, I guess it's dopamine. You get that dopamine rush. Like,
Yes,
yes.
more.
This
I can
is
do
what I
this.
quit in for. I am the tech god, which is
I
nice.
know that feeling. It's a good feeling.
It is.
I think the only other, I think the last thing I'll ask, would you talk me through like a day, maybe a day in the life? Like what is your day-to-day? I know you touched on a little bit, you're re-imaging computers, and for those of us listening who might not know, that's when you basically wipe a computer and put a brand spanking new version of the software on it for maybe a new user to
Yes.
use, or potentially, if you're just resetting a computer that's had some buggy software and you're going to load like a backup of the data back onto it. But yeah, so what sort of things are you encountering in your day-to-day? Just give us a little snapshot.
Sure. You're right, re-imaging computers through via Pixie booting, PXE, which basically you set it up to put the operating system that you want on there, as well as the drivers, software, what have you, enable BitLocker, all of it. And sometimes we get these, we call them mini PCs because it's these HP PCs that are made for workplaces. And so we have all these different urgent care. I work in an admin building, but we have all these different satellite offices that are the actual doctor's offices.
Right.
And so sometimes stuff goes wrong. It's like, hey, this one doesn't want to play ball. So they send it back. We wipe it, see if it's something that can be fixed, re-image it, and turn it right back out. That's one part of it. I'm one of the first ones who goes in the morning. So I check the nightly alerts that happened overnight. Is something down? If so, let's see if we can get it back up. And by if something is down, for example, there will be a PC that handles the registration of patients when they first walk in the door. And they put in their name and everything has to cross over to the medical record system. That specific computer is the one that handles registration. We'll get an alert saying, hey, this particular urgent care center's the application to type your name in isn't there. And you'll remote desktop in, which is something that Microsoft, you just put in RDP or type remote desktop, pull it up. And if you're connected to the network of the urgent care, you can access it remotely, hopefully.
Yeah.
So there are times when we
Of
can't, and those are
course.
the worst times. I was on call during CrowdStrike, and it was awful. For those who don't know, CrowdStrike is a reference to last summer when basically affected worldwide. It caused these worldwide outages with all these companies. At the time, like, I was like, oh, I don't even, I had heard of CrowdStrike, but it was something I never dealt with on a day-to-day basis. It was above my head. And then all of a sudden, all the blue screens of death, all of our PCs had blue screens of death. And we had the
Whoa, it was
marriage
on your front door suddenly without warning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a part.
But yeah, so I mean, you're going to these places, you're either remoting in from a one location, you might have to go physically to the location. I mean, this is the thing that people, it's 95% of the time, these machines work perfectly. It's a fascinating thing that we've come to rely on these physical pieces of hardware this much. But like, you know, from one person in the IT, formerly in the IT industry, to somebody currently in it, it's fascinating to see how, you know, a dead pixel on the screen might just be a dead pixel on the screen, or it might literally be a whole graphics card issue with the computer. I mean, it's there's no end to crazy problems that these machines encounter, and you know, it's up to a small handful of people to fix all of them. It's a fascinating world to be in the IT world, because you know, one person can fix 100 computers over the course of a year, because you know, only one or two of them drop out every week or so. But
I wish it was just one or two
right
a week. I'm not saying every PC is failing every second, but it have when you have the company has a lot of places,
yeah,
has a lot of doctor's offices, and when you have that many, there's just so many PCs. Actually, a new center just opened, and they had no end of problems
right
yesterday with the news center. I guess another part of my day-to-day other than that is when I do get a call from help desk, they basically relay the information that they were told from the user, and sometimes like, hey, is this information good, do we have everything we need, you gotta ask clarifying questions. Or sometimes help desk calls and they're asking about a very specific piece of proprietary software that my company uses, and only those like 8 people
right
in the entire company use it. I've never heard of it. I have to basically give myself a very quick crash course via the wiki that we could use, or any documentation that someone may have on hand, and just try to navigate it from there. That does happen. There's just so many pieces of software. And even 2 years in, just the other day, I got a call about something, and I had never even heard of the program. It's like, no, this is the first time this has come across my desk.
Yeah.
So a big part of my job is educated guessing. A big part of my job is that. And it sucks when you don't have the answers. You know, you want help desk to call and say, oh, yeah, I know exactly what this is. And that certainly does happen, and it feels great when you do.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, man, someone will walk in, or someone will call, and they'll put stuff on your desk, and that's the next 8 hours of your day. The problem, for whatever reason,
up.
You're troubleshooting, yeah, and just learning. And then the next day, it's like all of a sudden, I am an expert on this,
yeah,
just because I had to spend so much time doing it.
Yeah,
that can be part of my day. Yeah, something else interesting. I don't know if one of our teachers, I want to say it was Janet Rogers, said it to me, but back in acting school, said this to me. I don't know if he made it up or if he got it from somewhere else, but that there's the funny thing about artists is that you can mingle with the lowest of the low in the morning or in the evening, and then you are going to do a job that requires you to mingle with like the highest of the high, the loftiest, the rich, that sort of thing. I've had it before where a roommate of mine had an acting gig where he was had to be in character and was talking to the mayor of Richmond,
of course,
and at a party or whatever, and it was some sort of event around the arts and donations to the arts, and then came home to our crappy apartment as we all drank and watched terrible TV. I always thought that was interesting, and I've noticed that kind of happens in IT too. You will deal with people on the complete bottom rung of the ladder, and then 5 minutes later, you will go and talk to the millionaire CEO of the company and help them get their whatever account going on their personal computer.
Right.
It's fascinating to go back and forth like that, and then quote unquote you have to do the white glove service for the powerful and potentially moody.
Right. No, yeah, that's a fascinating aspect of IT where you are sort of the you're this like.
this guru, this like you know, this hermit who lives in this cave with ancient knowledge, and people expect to come to you for some sort of elixir. And it, when you are the person who normally has the elixir, and you have to say like, I don't have that elixir, let me go see if I can make it for you, it feels like you're taking the magic, you know, they're peeking behind the curtain. And there is that sort of interesting emotional part of that where it's like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm not. Yeah. OK, I need to figure this out. Like, I understand. But yeah, again, also at the Apple store, I would interact with people, regularly normal people with their problems. And then there's one guy who like he would make the LCD screens that like wrap around football stadiums. You know, the ones that are like all the way around,
oh,
like
cool.
Between the tiers. Or the giant, you know, like 200-foot displays and stuff. And he was the guy who wrote the software to run those LCD screens, because each of them having their own LCD array needed its own special software to say this pixel lights up for this color. You know, like this a 4K video will look like this on this screen. You have to connect those two dots for the computer. But he brought his personal computer to me because he was like, I know what I'm an expert in, and it's not this. So I came to you, and I was like, you know, what an interesting metaphor of like, you're right. You're constantly learning. You're constantly trying to find solutions to these problems. But then when you zoom out, you're like, wow, like I am a little bit of an expert right here. And there's experts over there. And it just brings it right to the surface in a really interesting way that I don't think other jobs other than IT get as much of that. I'm sure there are jobs that do, but IT, I think, is unique in that.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the funny thing is, especially when you're new, you might think when you're surrounded by all these people who've been in the IT industry for years that you know nothing in comparison, and you can get a little imposter syndrome that way. I can definitely admit that I've been there, and still do some days where like someone will steal me some piece of knowledge. It's like, how in the world do you possibly know that? Or did you know to click that and look there? My God. And then you have those moments where you're just like, oh, dang it, I did something stupid, didn't I? And
yeah.
Then you have other moments where you, like, exactly like you were saying, you talk with someone who just admits, say, hey, there are some things I know and some things I don't. This is not one of them. And you show them something and they're stunned that you were able to do it, just in the exact same way that you were stunned that the office guru or someone above you was able to do something. And that does happen.
Right.
And, you know, I will say in the IT industry, you're going to run into some interesting characters. The people that like technology, it's a real spectrum of characters you'll run into. There's a lot of really cool people. Most of them, in my experience, are just so nice and so willing to teach you. There is the cliche of the one IT guy in the industry who guards all his knowledge like a dragon hoarding gold so that he has job security. And I have seen that in my time now.
Right.
And I just don't subscribe to that sort of thinking. I this is my first time actually helping train two new people to the team. And so I'm officially no longer the new guy on the team. We have two newer people since the fall. And it's so interesting to be on the other side of that and trying to reassure them, like, no, it's okay, this is a strange exactly, it's like, you will get there, you're doing great, that sort of thing. You need to learn this is where I look for this, here's some documentation. And then other times you run into phones, they'll catch them, they don't know and you don't know. And I don't like to be the guy who pretends that he knows something he doesn't. I don't have the bandwidth for that sort of stress. If there's something I don't know, I usually will tell you right to your face. I'm like, I have no idea what this is. I will call you back. I will take a look at it. I'll take a stab at it. And we will find out together. That's how it has to be sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great note to end on because I do have to go. But yeah, it can't be stressed enough how much humility there is in the IT industry. It is a humbling job. in kind of a good way, where it's like you are the person who it's your role to help people get past their problems that they weren't able to necessarily get past themselves. And so there is a confidence aspect to that, but you're also constantly reminded that you have to keep learning, that it's not necessarily that you're ever going to get to a place where you're always going to have the answers. And sort of being in between those two feelings, I think breeds a lot of good humility. And I think a lot of that's why so many IT people I've interacted with have been as nice as you report. And so, yeah, I guess the one final note is don't be afraid to reach out to your IT person. You know, they just want to help.
Also, yeah, on one last note, we want you to tell us what you did wrong. We don't care that you spilled coffee. We don't care that you dropped it. No one's going to tell on you. We just want you to be honest about what happened, because sometimes it helps us to solve the problem. Don't lie, because we're not there to get any trouble, for the love of God.
Right. Also, we're only judging you if you
lie. We're going to judge you. Well, we might judge you no matter what, but we're not going to say anything to you. You know what I mean? Like, there might be a side comment that's like, they did what? But no one's going to be like, oh, how dare you for spilling coffee. It's surprising. People try to bury it. People try to hide stuff sometimes. Like, it really would have helped me if you had told me this bit of information. Anyways.
Just be upfront. No. Well, thank you so much, Tyler. This has been awesome. I'm sure we'll talk again soon, and I'll invite you back for a game night and all that.
Absolutely.
Stuff. So thanks so much for coming on Classy Coders.
Hey, thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks for listening to Classy Coders. Tune in to our next episode, where we'll talk with Matt C. of Goochland County Public Schools and Greg K. of SimpleThread, a boutique software development agency in Richmond. They discuss their views on computer science education and how their greatest learning experiences came from places you might not expect.